So in this episode, I'm gonna let you in on my mind a little bit and how it works, and then just talk to you about a few things. So hopefully it's helpful. Right, so get yourself a tea. I think you might need one. Right, so on my days off, do you know what I like doing? I like going swimming, just to keep your body moving. But I like to go to the local graveyard. I know this sounds a little bit morbid, but I like to sit with the stones and read them. And I like to think that even after so long, they at least get one visitor. And, at least one person who's interested in their life, and sometimes I talk to them. And I wonder like what their life was like. It's definitely when I see one that was like, 16 or, 1800s or, something like that. And I just think even after so long, I like to honour them. And I know this sounds really weird, but I just think I don't know what you've done. I don't know who you are, but we've walked on the same path, and we're in the same church. And you were laid to rest here, So I think, I wonder what your life was like, who you are, what you did, And I think, I want to engage. I want to connect. I want to know who you are, what's going on, what happened, In a curious way, not in a morbid way. I don't. I grieve for any pain that they experienced. But isn't life fascinating how people have walked before us for so many years and they've done so many things, so many brilliant things? I mean, so much smarter in so many ways. And, I don't. I like to pick that up. I like to absorb it in some way, Yeah. And it kind of got me thinking that. I speak to a lot of people, obviously, through my work, and they describe the most horrid people that they've either dated or experienced. And whenever I tap into their energy, I even say to them, like, oof, I don't like tapping into their energy. There feels to be like a void, like a darkness, I don't like it. It feels ill-conceived, it feels twisted. But sometimes I'll tap into people's energy and there's just a void, there's nothing. It's like a vapid emptiness. And it got me thinking that, like, before the Big Bang, well, I know it's a theory, but there was nothing. There was emptiness, there was a void, there was a darkness, there was no left or right, up or down, there was no light, there was no perception. There was no weight. There was nothing. Nothing that was measurable existed. It was purely just a dark void. And, the question is, what happened for there to spark light? I know the is it the Hindus? The Hindus, sorry, got that wrong. The Hindus, it's the festival of light. Light brought life, right? Without light, like when you look through one of those, oh, I can't remember the things. Sometimes you look through them and it's light and it's different slides. I can't remember what they're called now. Is it not a hologram? But even holograms, if you look at holograms and projectors, like you can create images from light, you can create distance, weight, left, right, up, down, something measurable because now we have light, we have perception, we have visuals, we have things coming to life. We can see things, experience things, just from one light particle can create so much, right? And it fascinates me, it always fascinates me to see how we went from void darkness to light. But sometimes when I tap into people, I think, how on earth are some people so full of life and so full of curiosity and so full of exuberance and, they're interested, they're switched on, their light is on. And some people, Of course, there's a gradient, but some people are just dark, 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 you know. You see it in their eyes. There's nothing there. There's not even a smidge. There's not even a range. Because I know some people can have a lot of light in them and then suddenly they can go dark. But some people have no light, you know, nothing, nothing. So I just think, well, how do they get that light? What is it? Like, where does that light come from? You know? So I can spend hours a day just going around in my own brain, you know. Do you know what else I do as well? I go on eBay and I collect photographs of people that I don't even know. You know, I've got one here now staring at me. There's three people from World War II. I've got a fascination with World War II. And I look at the photographs of these people who were once alive, you know, and I think, I wonder who you are, like where your family is. Like, you know, I can see the energy that you bring, but what's your story? Why are you there? Why are you like, there's this picture where there's two ladies and a man, and they're in front of a menu because the prices are really funny to look at. And they've all got such strange, you know, such different fashion sense. But they don't look suppressed. They look full of life. They look very healthy. And it's black and white. And I just think, I wonder how you lived your life, you know? And then next to that on my desk, because I'm looking at it now, is I've got a pair of really old, well, I've got two pairs of really old binoculars. Oh, honestly, I'm terrible in one of these vintage shops. And I sit there in the window and I just look at things and I go out for my wanders and I take my binoculars. You can see so much. If you're willing to close the distance between you, it, and that, and you and it, you know, and look through the binoculars and microscopes and everything, you get a different perception. And I'm saving up for a microscope at the moment because I've just collected on eBay. I'm telling you, I'm the biggest geek. A load of slides. And I looked at one of them. They've got someone's name on. So someone obviously had this as a hobby. And there's all these slides with different samples of stuff on. Honestly, some of it is grim. I won't say what it is. But I'm like, ugh. And some of it looks like blood and things. But I'm going to get this microscope and have a look. Because it's in this gorgeous box. And I opened up the box and it just smelt old, you know. And I think someone sat there all day collecting samples of things, and I wonder why. I wonder what they were looking for. I wonder what project they had. Maybe they were looking for diseases, you know, but then they were taken. But their life must live on, you know, and this is why I always like to study the past, and I always like to look at old photos, and I like to visit museums. And one of my favorite places, I've got an absolute fascination with World War II, so I wonder if a past life was there, to be honest. I remember when I was drawing as a kid, I constantly drew army figures, and I always had this feeling I was in the army. But anyway, that's a different potty. But yeah, I love going to the Maritime Museum, and but the favorite one is Bletchley Park. Yeah, and it's funny because get this for coincidental. So Alan Turing obviously was at Bletchley Park, and I think he was at Cambridge University at the same time as my grandpa would have been. I think, I don't know the exact dates. And then I moved and I went past a blue plaque, literally around the corner from where I'm living, and Alan Turing lived there for a bit. And I was like, what? Yeah, I keep falling into his pathway. It's really interesting. But, you know, I struggle a bit with life because, you know, I don't want to get sucked into the crap, the gossipy shit, the insidious troublemaking that goes on online, you know, and you know, whose camp are you in? Constantly there's this division because there's this, you know, I feel pained for it because I go to the graveyards and I think they used to be alive, they used to live. And I look at the photographs here and they look happy. And there's us bitching about, you know, you have different political view. I mean, I'm not saying this stuff never existed in the old days. Of course it did. You know, but it's just like studying the past helps you put it into perspective. And I'm obsessed with films to do with World War II. And I think I have such a connection with it because obviously my grandparents were around in that time, and it was when the world changed. We all of a sudden realized that propaganda was incredibly manipulative and could influence the whole world and therefore had dire consequences. And every day we're faced with propaganda through just accessing social media. And so it alarms me. It really does. But that's how I spend my days off, studying lives that came before me. And I think in some weird poetic justice, and I hope I don't get upset about this. God, you must think I'm so weak because I just constantly cry all the time. It does seem to be my new era. Yeah, I went years without being able to shed a tear, and now I cry quite a bit. And yeah, I think in some poetic justice, it's because I feel like I'm either not living my life properly. And I am incredibly shy. And yeah, I think in some weird way, I really don't know how to. I know that sounds really, really weird, but it's like my brain is so much, like I have so much energy in my brain all the time. I'm constantly speaking to spirit. I'm constantly downloading things. Like I can walk past someone on the street and I'll just pick up some information about them. Yeah, I have to constantly control the filters, and that can be really quite draining. So when I walk into a crowded room, I have to say to myself, like, don't pick anything up. So I have to kind of emotionally shut down. And I think I get so lost in the noise that I find it quite difficult to, have a normal life, because ultimately, on my days off, I do want to switch off. But in today's climate, I mean, I've moved here now about a year ago, and I am constantly asking around and putting things in the neighborhood app. All I want is a badminton buddy. Can't find one. Can't find one. Yeah. And so I kind of reflect on the past a lot, and even a past that I didn't even exist in, because I just think you all looked so sociable. And yet here I am, and I can't even find a badminton buddy. No one will move. No one wants to move. No one wants to, be involved and relax. There's a after the war, well, there was a social scene, I think, that we don't have anymore, and it was the camaraderie and the efforts. Like even now, I mean, if you put a spread on, there'll be about 10 people who can't eat anything because they've got allergies. There'll be a vegan, a vegetarian, I just know it, a gluten free, and then just a food free. I think I told you this, didn't I? Like, I made a real big effort in one of my jobs. It was my birthday, so I homemade all the foods, like sausage rolls, quiches, and everything. And where I'm from, you see, you do that. And then down here, I haven't climatized very well, to be honest. No one would touch it. And it was really rude. Really rude. But no one would touch it. They were all on diets. But they all just didn't want to say it. But it's because I made it. They felt a lot better when it came off a conveyor belt. Now, I've worked in a factory like that. And believe me, it ain't. yeah. But there was just this snobbery, So, yeah, it just, I don't know. I find it kind of like, weirdly, I feel at home with connecting with people who aren't current or modern. Isn't that strange? Isn't that curious? And that's why I was kind of wondering about, like, God, is it like a past life thing? Like, I don't know, am I looking for, my crowd? Am I looking for people that I was once alive with? It's very strange, isn't it? Like, I think it's such a rabbit hole that you can end up going down, and start looking for why you're so quirky. It's so weird. I feel very peaceful. Very peaceful sitting there just sitting with the dead, And in many ways, they're more alive than we are, Yeah, it's really, really weird. I know I sound like I'm nuts, but I think it's, I don't ever want anyone who has passed to be forgotten, And I don't want anyone to, like some of the graveyards and some of the, and I just wonder what the stories were, of the people. Like, What pressures were they under? You know, definitely when you see the young ones, you think, gosh, I saw one the other day and it was 8 years old. So I looked at the date and I thought, oh yeah, probably tuberculosis, to be honest. It could have been anything, could have been going up a chimney, you know. And I think, God, in those 8 years, you would have lived and been more active than most of the 8-year-olds now, you know. So, yeah, that's my quirky little hobbies. Fascinating. So when people say, what do you do in your spare time? It's like, ah, yeah. It's weird. It's weird. I like looking back. There's a great book. Well, there's so many good books, aren't there? There's so many good books that get your brain going. But even like Elizabeth Gilbert has done a book called City of Girls. And she spoke about these kind of older women who had all these life experiences and all these stories, you know. And I just feel that in this modern day age, we're so gasping and addicted to validation. And we forget to live. And we forget to acknowledge that actually, you know, we just have to feel alive. We don't even have to do anything. We feel like to be alive, we have to do everything. And honestly, I feel more alive sitting in a graveyard, reading headstones and just wondering who they are. I'm wondering if I can connect with them, you know. So alive for me is to feel connected, to feel purposeful and at peace. It's not about how many things I can do per day. I can just sit here and look at these photographs till the cows come home. I don't think the cows are ever coming home, but it's like I can just sit there and just acknowledge them. You know, it's weird. And with my binoculars, I'm always looking out the window at the wildlife. I feel alive. I feel alive. Yeah. I used to be very sociable. I used to go to the pub a lot. I used to live in Birmingham, you see. And it's a social city. Everyone's talking, everyone says hello. And I struggle down here. Like I picked my dry cleaning up the other day. And while I was waiting for it, I said, oh, it's all right, I'll go and get a brew next door. So I went to the cafe. And it was windy and cold and a bit rainy. And I said, no, sit outside, it's fine. And she said, you're going to get cold. I said, no, it's fine. So I sat out on the pavement. And, you know, everyone was rushing past. And I tried so many times to get someone's eye contact just to nod my head and said, I do. I do, I do. Not one. Not one. And it's very weird. Very, very weird. Socially, we're not right at the moment. You know, so it's interesting because I wonder, because we always have to have the balance, you know, where there are ups, there's always downs. When I look at the history, it's like, yeah, socially they were great, but their lifestyle was really bad. Like I'm looking at a World War II photo now. They didn't know if they were going to be speaking German tomorrow, you know, or that, well, the day after this was taken. But you know, they were all getting on, but then their lifestyle was bad. And in this day and age, our lifestyles are really good, but we're not all getting on. So isn't it funny that there's just never quite, you know, a balance. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait to get this microscope. I'm saving up for a microscope and a cello. Yeah. And that's another thing. I'm a right little saver. I don't like spending. No. Just, I think, be wise. Yeah, whether you're a millionaire or whatever, you save your money. You don't be I don't understand people who are money focused, you know, like how do I put it? Like, you know, they want to marry for money or something. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Nah. Because really you're like, you just pick a nice little lifestyle, I think, and just try and keep within that, whether you've got more or less, just try and keep within that lifestyle and then anything else is a Brucey bonus, but save, yeah. So I like to set my little goals. But yeah, I'm saving up for a microscope and I can't wait to see what's in these slides. I always think curiosity, and I've spoken about this before on a podcast, I always think curiosity will get you out the most terrible mindset. Yeah, I've got a book here with bird watching because I have these little green things, I think they are, parakeets or something like that. I need to see them, I need to have a look up close. But yeah, get some right funny looks. But meh. whatever. But studying the past and learning about lives before really help you get through the day because you learn about perspective. And you learn, just even thinking about the Big Bang, you think, God, like, I am a tiny little dot on a floating rock in the middle of dense darkness. And, that's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, the fact that gravity is something we completely take for granted and we overlook it all the time, but without it, we're absolutely screwed. There's so much going on around us that keeps us in place, and we can't even appreciate where we are sometimes. So it really helps kind of give you that wake up call. Even, like I say, walking around the graveyards gives you a wake up call. Like, I'm 42, and there's not many stones with 42 on. A lot of stones have people younger than 42. And I just think I've far past your age range. I mean, how grateful am I? I'm walking around and I'm surrounded by people who would have loved to make it to 42. So when I worry about settling down, when I worry about the future, it puts it all into perspective. And the power of light does that. And that's why I think religion and spirituality is considered light, because ultimately it gives you perspective. I can't imagine a life without some form of spiritual framework. I mean, I grew up as a very religious Christian. We went to church every Sunday. I'd go Friday because I had to learn to play. I was playing the drums for the church band. We'd go to church outings all the time. Went to these Christian concerts. I remember people, doing all that pray over you stuff, as strangers you've never met. Putting their hands all over you, over your head and things. I remember all of that, yeah. I remember being in my bed and people from the church would come round and they'd sing and play the guitar in the lounge. You'd hear it, all the hymns, So I'm quite religious, I really am. But, for me it's changed over the years because I've learnt that there's different religions. And I've seen the consequences of people being so fixated on their own religion and how isolating that is. You can become pious and you can think you know it all, So I like to reference a few different things. But without a framework or without the faith system in place, I think, you run the risk of being sucked into the void, that before the light, ultimately, it helps to have faith. I'm constantly telling people when I do readings for them, you must have faith, hold faith, especially now. Like, I just literally did back to back for about 4 hours of readings for people in the States, and they were all asking about the same thing. When am I going to get a job? When am I going to get a job? I've been out of work for a year, I've been out of work for 2 years, I've got another interview next week. How is it going to go? And I'm like, keep the faith. You can't lose faith. You can't lose the ability to know that life is so much bigger than you are, but lean into it. If you can just hold a little bit of appreciation that you are here now living a life, and if you can just, do it, I recommend order some old photographs, look at them, wonder who was living a life, what they did, who they were. Go walk amongst the tombstones. And show appreciation. Sometimes I tidy them up a little bit, Yeah. I don't want anyone to feel alone, and I don't want anyone to feel like not seen. So I like to go in, have a wander, but it puts things in perspective, And I think I get another day. These guys don't, And life is so wonderful and so beautiful. But don't get caught up in all the dramas. Don't get caught up with all the bills. All those things will always work out. But you get to have another day. You do. But these people don't. Nah. So you've got to keep that close to your heart, Because where you've got another 24 hours, you've got another day, you've got to swap your emotions. You've got to put your heart into that. Yeah, you've got to lean into it. Because if you can appreciate, you've got another 24 hours, and you know what? It can all change in 24 hours. Your whole life can change in one day, 1,000%. You look at anyone's life that has changed. When did it happen? Pretty much overnight. Shit doesn't happen gradually half the time. It happens just boom, boom. One decision, one conversation, one opportunity. A door opens. You meet someone who kind of just starts to change your life in a really good way. You know, one thought, one change of perspectiveness, whatever perception that was it. You know, and one decision just da 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 just starts to rearrange your universe and your solar system within your own mind. And then you're operating from a different standpoint. I mean, how amazing we get to do that. But you've got another day. Things can turn around. Things can happen. Pray. Yeah. I don't even give a shit who you're praying to. Just make sure it ain't Satan. We don't want any of that. No? We don't want no void, right? But just pray. Just say, I don't know who you are. I don't know who I'm talking to, but help. Shed some light. That's what it's about, you see. Light, shedding information. You can see more, change perspective. I always talk to my filters. So at night, I say to my brain, this is what I want to experience tomorrow. These are the emotions I want tomorrow. I want to see more of this tomorrow. I go to sleep. And then next day, it's all been programmed overnight. Yeah, my filter is like, oh, okay. It's like if me and you went for a walk down the street, right? And you're thinking about getting a dog, and I'm thinking about getting a car. I'll see nothing but cars, and you'll see nothing but dogs. And you'll say to me, did you see that little, I don't know, chihuahua? And I'll be like, no, what chihuahua? And I'll say to you, did you see that red car? And you'll be like, nope. Because our filters are in control. So tell your filter what you want to see. You know, these things that I have, these little tools, they help me see gratitude. They help me see, you know, life from a different perspective. Yeah, they're great. So on that note, I love you loads as always. Honestly, I know how to upset myself. I really do. It's just gold star right there, you know. So anyway, look, love you.